Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Mother, takes upon you as she should. As if the desire of her heart, the very manifestations of God, will happen right there. It'll be a testimony to the people she's around.
Yes.
For the very last world that she's in. And they'll see great, the real position right there. We speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Phyllis, you want to pray?
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will, all of your Holy Spirit, all of the fullness of your love and righteousness and good health and peace and joy to my sister Sunday. She is so precious to us, and I know she's even more precious to you. So I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen, and amen. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. You got connected right while we were in the midst of a prayer for our sister. And I don't like interrupting prayer with technology. So I apologize if that happened, Brother Dan. That was an errant slip of the... Is that something? Of the clicker. Here we go. Well, hallelujah. So we're glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about righteousness again. I keep trying to go back and talk about all that sin stuff, but it just isn't working for me. And so I'm just going to keep flowing in the stream here of the righteousness of God. And for the last, I don't know, little bit of this day, I keep having this thought on the inside about Dr. Bill Winston has a message he preaches that's called The Reality of Righteousness. And Dr. Winston's one of my favorite Bible teachers. So I'm going to share that with you here to get us started tonight. And, of course, you might not be used to south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago preaching, but I guarantee you're going to love this message. And it's actually teaching with Brother Copeland and Dr. Winston together. You are righteous in God's eyes. So without further ado, I'm going to put them on, and then we're going to come back and teach some more a little bit later on. It's been a full day on our end, but it don't matter. We know what to do and how to do it in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. The reality. Whoops. Oh, Jesus, bless the Lord. Could you get in my bag and bring me my speaker? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. While we're going to give a little bit of time for that to come, I'm going to leave the book of Romans, chapter 6. Thank you, my love. It's all right. It is all good.
I found disconnected.
It is all good. We are in. We're on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. And Brother Dan and Sister Phyllis just prayed for Sunday. And we're glad to have you with us. I want to read this verse. Romans chapter 6, before we get into Dr. Winston and Brother Copeland. This is a double dual duet. Two of God's great, mighty leaders.
Hello, Tracy, Roger, and Rebecca on YouTube.
All right. It is not Romans 6. I said it last night, Romans 6. I said it tonight, Romans 6. But right now, we're fixing that understanding. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. And from now on, we will always say the right reference. Romans chapter 4. All right. Everybody, welcome, Sister Leanne. Good to have you with us tonight, love. Good to have the echo with us tonight. Goodness sakes alive. This is what we say. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. More than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Romans 4, 5 and 6 and 11. Romans 4, 5, 6 and 11. I do not have this down to memory yet, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to show you how to do this if you've never understood it. This is how you get the revelation, and you hold on to it. So that according to Matthew 13, to him who has revelation, more will be given. This is how you do it. I said this to us last night, saying it again tonight. Romans 4, 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith counted for righteousness. Your faith, because you receive it, is counted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the man, the blessedness of the man, to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse 11. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. Watch. That righteousness might be imputed to them. Say it. Impute righteousness to me, Jesus. Now, all the technologies are ready. Are you? Tracy, Rebecca, Roger, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's getting ready to get real good. Here we go. Brother Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Bill Winston, you are righteous in God's eyes. Don't miss a lick and take some notes.
Over. me around. 30 minutes. Nobody in hell.
Come on, brother.
Nobody in hell. Only way. What about all the
come on. Thank you. So Brother Bill and Brother Copeland will not be back in a minute because there's a whole bunch of advertisements. But I want to go back and play this one part right here. Listen to this. You can see I put two timestamps in while they were just back there repeating it. Okay? Why did you do that? Because the next time you come back here and watch this video, I want you to be able to go right to the part about the mercy and grace and righteousness. Now, if you look on your screen right now, you can see underneath there that up here at the top corner, it says Samuel J. Cottle 4412. I don't know where they got 4412 at, but it's a pretty cool number. I like it. All right. I don't know if there's 4,412 Samuel J. Cottles in the world. That would be a bunch of us. See, now I've never met one other. That'd be really big. But look at watch what this does. I'm gonna click on that 1240, and it takes you right to that point where he says righteousness. Now watch it. Let's do something here. Pastor, you're doing a good job teaching this. Why'd you go to Brother Copeland? Well, because whenever you're learning something new and you're like, wow, this is amazing. You've been hearing my voice on this, hammering it. But all of a sudden, when you hear another voice, they're actually saying the same thing I've already said. But you hear it in a different voice, and it's like, oh, yeah, there. Yeah, right there. That's it. And you'd be like, wow, did you just hear what they say? Well, yeah, it's actually what we've been saying. Holy Spirit's been saying all along. But you just got it in a different voice. You got it in a different accent. You got it in a different gift, and it brings it alive. Now, don't just go study just any Yahoo out there on the internet. Study men of God like these two that are tried and true, and they're going to give you a whole stack of verses about what the Bible says. That's why people like to come here. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm going to go to this word, the word of God, and I'm going to give you chapter and verse over and over and over and over again so that you actually are believing what the Bible says. It ain't about what I say. Now, I want to play one more of Dr. Winston. Obviously, we got about 3 minutes of righteousness in that teaching. I'm not offended in any sense of the word. However, I have another one here that I would just like to play for us, because I know that this one does have the whole teaching of righteousness in it. Here we go. Give me just a second. I've had several people say to me, Pastor, I like how you teach. I do too. The purpose of this is to hear a word from one of God's great leaders on the same thing we're studying and balance out what we're saying because you hear it in somebody else's voice. So here we go. One more, and then I got some verses I want to give us. This is walking in righteousness, the reality of righteousness, and this is actually in Dr. Winston's church in Chicago. Sister Leanne and I have been there many times, and we actually love to go back to Michigan by way of Chicago and stop in and go to church. If you're ever going through Chicago on a Sunday or a Wednesday, get to church. It's only about a mile off the expressway?
Yeah.
Not even that much, probably half a mile off the expressway. And there's a really good restaurant right in the parking lot of the church when church is over. You can go to church, and then you can go feel your face afterwards. It's amazing. Anyways, here we go. You're going to love this. I guarantee you.
Right. The new creature. Yes.
Come on.
One of the reasons why the devil wants you to have no knowledge. He knows revelation, righteousness, or what you do. You. If you will.
Show it.
knowing this. Listen. No. Not you.
We have the series. We recommend that you buy it. But you might be one of them people that don't have any of these devices like CD players and DVD players anymore. You might just see everything online. You can go right there, search it up, The Reality of Righteousness. And let's see, I'm going to click the share button so I get that. Copy, we'll send it over there to you. Oh, that's the same one. Oh, there we go. All right, we got them both. stop the share? Can I hear anybody give a good word on that? Lost track of the YouTubers. Did they disappear? Are they still here? I've totally lost them. There we go. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Wow. You guys are tearing it up over there. I love it. All right. Well, that's way too many comments for me to read. But that's all right. Let's do this right now. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians, and let's grab that verse that he was just reading to us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pull my notes up here. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Now, I'm not sure. I know I've not said this verse since we got started in all this, but this is one of the most powerful verses that you're ever going to use and ever going to need to understand is this one right here. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. This verse actually says, awake to righteousness and you will not sin. When you awake to righteousness, you will not sin. Some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to their shame. Well, he's not trying to shame anybody. He's just saying you need to get this revelation of righteousness down on the inside of your life. Because when you get the revelation of it and you begin to walk in it, then you will not sin. I think one of the most powerful statements that you can ever get in this is we become righteousness conscious. When you think about what the enemy can actually do to you, look what it says. It took us there. So let's grab this as our second verse we're going to go. Don't worry, I'm not re-preaching what he preached. I'm just re-preaching what he preached. Revelation chapter 12. And this is... this. Revelation 12, 10 through 12. Revelation 12, 10 through 12.
Thank you, Rebecca and Tracy, for putting verses in.
Thank you, guys, for putting the verses in. Amen. Thank you for being there. Mm-hmm. You guys are as much a part of this as we are sitting on this side. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now watch. Verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. You notice God's not hesitating about telling us the truth. He said it with a loud voice. Sometimes preachers are like, and they get real quiet about receiving the Holy Spirit because they're afraid that things are going to happen they can't control. No, duh. When you want to control everything about God, you're bringing God down into your reality, making him be as small as you, rather than you going up to his reality and becoming as great as he is. God said in Isaiah, your ways are not my ways. But he didn't say that our ways couldn't be his ways. We read it about every third night, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Awake to righteousness and you won't sin. Revelation 12:10. Focus. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. So all of this stuff that's coming at you every day is deception and accusation. It's not coming from the inside out. It's coming from the outside trying to get in. Jesus said, why take you a thought by saying it. Jesus literally told us that how deception gets in is the fiery dart comes from the enemy, and it hits us, and we let that thought get on the inside. Don't do that. How about your neighbor and say, hey, don't do that. Give somebody across the internet a high five. Say, hey, don't do that. Don't take a thought by saying it. Remember how in the morning program, we talk about Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, I'm not coming off of this wall. I'm not going to stop the word of God and come down there and argue with me. That's what you're trying to get me to do, and you're trying to get me to believe your lies, so I will speak something off of my lips that goes against the plan of God that I'm believing for. And Nehemiah said, I ain't doing it. And a matter of fact, everybody that's got a trowel will also have a sword. I like the one verse in Nehemiah, and we didn't even take our clothes off, except every now and then to wash them. I love God. The Holy Spirit said, just so you know, that's just important. They didn't take their clothes off, except every now and then to wash them. All right. Now, here we go. The accuser of the brethren. Let me get back and read what's actually in the verse. Revelation 12:10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Well, when was Satan Spirit man's going a whole lot faster than my tongue actually has the ability to keep up. Watch. Try it again. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame it, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, Hebrews 4 says, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Revelation says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and putting those words in our mouth by the words of our testimony. How do you do that, Pastor? You do it like this. Fiery dart comes. Let's say you used to smoke and drink and run and dance and chew and run around with those who do. And here comes the fiery dart. And a picture comes of what you used to do. How do you make this verse work? I thank you, Jesus, that I have received your blood and the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of your grace, and you imputed righteousness into me, and therefore the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Watch this, Father. I'll twist my heel and crush his head. You get serpent brains on the ground. I like it. Why? Because you're crushing his head. This is what Jesus said is going to happen in Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. How do you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb. Put the blood on your lips and give a testimony. I have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb, and I am giving my testimony right now. Therefore, it's coming to pass right while I speak. That's why last night I gave you that assignment. Romans 4, 5, 6, and 11. That's easy to remember. Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, and 11. Watch, you ready? Romans 4, 5, 6, 5, and 6, make 11. love it. I just got it. It's now in me. Downloaded that in me right there when I did that. Learn to do it. What is it? God imputes to you righteousness. How he's been saying it to me this time as we're teaching it is, he installs righteousness in you. Right? You downloaded righteousness on the inside of you. It has now completely filled your hard drive and your soft drive and your overdrive. It's filled all your drives. Because when you awake to righteousness, you won't sin. Why? Because you'll be righteousness conscious. Pastor, you sound like you're expecting me to become a little maniacal. Well, no, I don't want you to be a maniac. I just want you to be radical. I want you to be so determined to have righteousness that you'll be like Jacob and wrestle with an angel all night long. How many other stories have you heard of somebody wrestling with an angel all night long? The angels are all saying right now, I ain't going to go down and be around any of them guys tonight. They'll all grab a hold of us and they won't let go. Wait. See, what is Jacob proving? Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Find the verse. See, this is why God does it this way with us. And if you like Brother Copeland and the way they do their Believer's Voice of Victory, you'll enjoy us. Not because we copy them. I haven't watched the Believer's Voice of Victory program in a long time. Except tonight I watched it, but what happens? He gives us a message, and we start digging. Genesis 32. Genesis what? 32. 32. One more time. There was too many twos.
32. Genesis 32, and then verses 22 to
32. Genesis 32, 22. To 32, blue 42, go long, right button hook. Where's my verse I'm looking at? Man, you got to your verse a lot faster than I got to mine. Matthew, so get that, get your finger in Genesis, and we're going to go over here now to Matthew 11, 12. Look at these verses today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I like it. Sister Leanne. Yeah, Genesis 32, 22 to 32. And we were just at Romans 5, 4, 4, 5, 6, and 11. Man, if you don't love this, we got to get your lover fixed. Pastor, you're going to do what to my lover? All right, we're going to help your ability to love this kind of teaching and this diligent study. We're going to get that fixed in you. So when I pray to God, I say, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, make sure the Father knows I'm talking to him. Yeah, and then make sure you add yourself to it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus, and then put your name in it, and Samuel, and Leaniel. Now, oh, thank God. Brother Richard's here with us. Woo! What is the plot, Ive? May his hand become desolate and beyond one to drill in. Oh, I love it. Sorry, olive tithe discourse mean. But if you're missing it. That's Sister Tracy over there doing her living level best this on the in it. And wow. Now, take. So did you find those two places? Find those two places. Ready? So she's got jump. Oh my goodness sakes alive. Genesis 32, 22 to 32, Matthew 11, 12. All right, get your fingers out. Let your finger do the walking. Remember the old Yellow Pages advertisement?
Oh, my.
That's a long.
That is a long.
We got a whole generation of people that don't even know what Yellow Pages are. They'd be like, yellow what? What's a yellow page? Make sure if your oil, the oil in your lamp is full. Amen. Probably one of the reasons tonight that I got a little more zeal than I normally have is I've been in the face all afternoon. And here's the reality. Hundredfold has now happened and is now happening, and everybody's going to get to see it right in front of their eyes, because my Father gives hundredfold return for persecution, for the word's sake. And remember what Paul said? I had a thorn in the flesh, that mouthy woman that kept plaguing his ministry. I had a thorn in the flesh because of my great revelation. Well, when you start getting revelation, and you start giving it out, well, then according to Matthew chapter 13, he's going to try to take that away from you, and you ain't going to let it go. Here's how serious you and I are to fight for revelation. You ready? Genesis 32, 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the river, the ford of Jabbok. It's a place where you can cross the river. No deep pools, all the cattle. And now Jacob has a serious number of cattle. He took them and sent them over the brook, sent over what he had. Jacob was left alone. And a man, notice that capitalized, wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob was so determined to have the blessing, he wrestled with Jesus all night long. That's amazing. 25, when he, that's capitalized, when Jesus saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, Jesus touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. The angel's going to look at Jacob and say, you don't have to wrestle with me. I'm one of you. That's what the angels kept saying. I'm here to help you. That's what they kept saying to John the Revelator when he was in heaven. I'm here to help you. I'm your servant. So the angel is going to be like, don't be wrestling with me. It's God, it's Jesus that the captain of the Lord of hosts showed up for Jacob, and Jacob got a hold of him and said, I ain't letting go of you. Woo! He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob crossed the brook, limping, going, man, I wrestled with God and survived. Hallelujah. 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 Just so you know, Brother Richard, that's the process that we all will fight until Jesus comes. And when we fight that battle and say, I don't care what you put up, I am on the victorious side of this thing, and I do not lose, That's when you contend for your faith and you come through with flying colors. And that's when your faith gets so deep in God, because you look at it and say, the only reason you're giving me a lie, enemy, is because you're trying to stop the level of faith that has grown in my heart. I overcome you now by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I'm going to give my life to take this message to the whole world of Jesus. Matthew. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys have heard it. Had to change the air dryer on the side of the road. Had to change the clutch fan. Had to change the radiator. Today, the air compressor went. I'm just racking up 100-fold return. That's all. That's all. Watch. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is exactly what Jacob was doing. Jacob was taking the kingdom by force. Let's click on that verse here in Esau. Give me just a second. I want you to see this. I'm going to share my screen so you can see this. This is Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let's go over here, and let's change the translation to the Amplified Classic. And now let's read it. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. That's the Amplified Classic. Now, why are you going there, Pastor? Because in the Old Testament, Jacob was an example of how diligently you and I should chase after, seek after, go after the revelation of the kingdom of heaven. We studied it last night. Remember, to you, it has been given to know the kingdom of heaven. To you, it's been given. Well, Jacob knew the blessing was on him, like Brother Copeland and Dr. Winston were preaching. He knew he had the blessing. And so when God showed up that night to strengthen him, Jacob said, I let go of you until you bless me. And what did he do? He grabbed a hold of the kingdom of God and said, I will not let go of you until you bless me. That is how fervent our desires should be every single day of our life. Then we heard tonight the verse from 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and you will not sin. Awake to righteousness and you will not sin. I'm just going to tell you right now, every person who is going to be on this earth is going to fight this same battle. If you give in the battle, you'll never get to see the victory on the other side. But guess what? If you stay focused in the battle and you fight till you win, now all of a sudden you've got a picture of victory you never knew existed, and everybody around you is like, man, what are you? How did this, all this happen to you? And you're going to say, because to whom revelation has been given to him who has revelation, more revelation will be given. Jacob wrestling with God is the example of how diligently you and I should hold on to the blessing and say, I will not let you go until you bless me. Some of us have said, Lord, bless me. And we look around and the blessing's not there. And then you go, well, why didn't you bless me? And he's like, well, are you willing to fight for it? Or do I just have to lay you down on the couch and feed you grapes? You know, and if, whether you do anything or not. No. See, Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of the kings to search that matter out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter so that you will search it out. And as you begin to search the matter out with diligent study and search, then all of a sudden it's the glory of God to get to let that revelation come to you. What are you doing? You're doing something more than nominally following God. Like a penguin. No, you are actively out there every day, charging, going, doing, being. Every single day you're out there doing it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Just because old faces are like green stamps and red stamps, I don't remember red stamps.
Red stamps must have been before our time. Because I remember the green stamps.
I remember the green stamps, yes.
And the kids say, what, the postage stamps used to be green? No, you got them at the S&H store. Watch this. I'm going to throw another verse in here. Let's go to the Italian prophet, Malachi. The last prophet recorded in the OT. And personally, I think that the translators should have left portions of, well, all of the Gospels in the Old Testament. Because Jesus was still under an Old Testament gift of the rabbi, the teacher, and the prophet in those days.
Wait a minute,
stamps. I have colorful picture stamps. Wait a minute, stamps. I have no idea what that is.
I don't either. Okay, so Richard and Roger, what are red stamps and wait a minute stamps?
What's a wait a minute stamp? I have colorful picture stamps. Wait a minute, stamps. Maybe Siri got crazy and said something.
Maybe. That's a large possibility.
Go with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. That's Malachi for those of you that have never been graced with the Italian prophet before. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Look at this. Watch this. Watch what this says. Now, the book of Malachi is one very serious rebuke by God to the priest for how they were leading in the kingdom. Make sure you keep reminding me that I have to end my hitch. Before 10. Just a joke.
If we were gullible to it.
We got it. Hook, line, and sinker. We got, got something we don't know about here.
And we were eager to learn.
Malachi chapter 3. Look at this says. Verse number 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, Malachi 3:7, you have gone away from my ordinances. Now that's not necessarily talking to you. That's to these guys, right? And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, Lord of hosts is Jesus. He's the captain of the host of heaven. Ready? But you said, in what way shall we return? And verse 8, will a man rob God? They must have said, no. And God said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Just stick with me. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Remember, you and I, in the new covenant, Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that he might be cursed for us so that we can have the blessing. Right? That's what Jesus did. So the curse is broken and the curse is removed. Keep reading. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, I will open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it. How serious do you want that happening in your life? Will you wrestle God all night long for it? Will you go to war and say, I'm not surrendering until I get it? Remember, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The book of Psalms says, he delights in the prosperity of his servants. The book of Second Chronicles says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, seeking anyone whom he may show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are right before him. Oh, Olivet Discourse, Mark 13. I thought it was Sister Olive or something. You know, maybe we got a new member. It's okay. Oh, that's what he gave you? And in your dream. Wow. Well, we're going to have to hear about this. Make us audio. Send it on in. Send it on down. Send it on down. Okay. Tracy, send the pictures on down. Now.
So red stamps are the same as the green stamps. Just at a different store. A&Ts were green.
Oh. Oh. Sorry. I was just singing and having a good time. You'll probably have to get a little more descriptive about what does that, what's the word that mean? I have had maybe 8 hours of sleep in the last 3 days. So I might be just a little something. I'm back to Malachi. Type in there what you're is asking me, Tracy, to answer that. I totally missed it. If I said something, I missed what it was I said. And I may not have missed it. I may have been saying it on purpose. But your question has now caused me to go, I'm back in Malachi 3 while you're typing. Watch this. He said, I'll open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't contain. Now wait, how many of us sitting here right now can say that in your physical possession is so much blessing you can't contain it? I'm not there yet, because all of my accounts could contain a whole lot more blessings. So don't surrender till you get it. Let's go to the next verse, 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, For those of you that's been watching, every time something else goes on my truck, I'm like, devourer, you're rebuked by Jesus. Right, I got you. Thanks, Tracy. Thank you for putting that in there. And we'll deal with that in just a minute. Thank you. So I'm here on purpose. So I'm praying about it. I'm like, I receive a hundredfold return. You disturbed my peace and stopped me from making profit on days I could have made a good profit. And I rebuke you, and I declare you are a thief. And when the thief is caught stealing, you got to pay back seven times. And according to the book of Isaiah, double for the shame.
Amen.
Every time my hood is up on the side of the road and my brothers drive by, there's shame involved in that. So guess what? I get a hundredfold return. And I also get this verse right here. Sister Leanne and I have said to each other over and over throughout the last 3 weeks, hold it. Our tithe, we are tithers to the max. We tithe on our personal. We tithe on the business. We tithe on the ministry. Why? Because in the Old Testament, when the tithe was set up in the garden, it wasn't that God needed money so heaven didn't go broke. It was about you coming back and worshiping God with something that is his. And when you bring it back to him and worship him with it, now the greatest act of worship is returning to him what belongs to him. That's why he said the tithe is holy, belongs to the Lord. Just keep reading. The devourer will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. I've had a pretty abundant blessing. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I'm here on purpose. Watch. 13. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And then God answered them, you have said, it is useless to serve God. Profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Crybabies. Crybabies. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Are your words harsh against God? Your words be against God in any sense of the word. Now watch. Here we go. People in the store and in my family are looking at me like I lost my mind. We had one sister that she loved to go to the store when the program was on, and she'd just stick her phone in her back pocket and just walk up and down the aisles because it just let me preach, man. We just in here preaching away, and people just follow her. They would literally follow her around the store listening to her preach. Let's keep going. So then you said the Olivet Discourse, verses 1 through 8. What does that mean? Please help me. All right. Mark 13. The Olivet Discourse is where Jesus is teaching about the end times event. And he's on the Mount of Olives when he begins to teach about it. And what it is he's predicting the destruction of Jerusalem. That's the Olivet Discourse. That's a pretty cool story. He came into your room and said, to ask, let's just go there for a minute. This fits. Hold on just a second. You got to dance. Now, you might not be as good of a dancer as me, but I'm a good dancer. Well, what are you dancing about? Well, I'm dancing because when you dance before the Lord in the face of opposition, only time that you get to give God that level of praise, because you will never have this opportunity when we get to heaven. The only time you can give this level of praise and honor and glory and zeal and fire is here on this earth where there's an enemy in your face. So, you ready? And be a joyful person of the tithe. Amen. Amen. I got a pretty amazing story about the tithe. I'll play it for you. Watch this. So let's go right to Mark 13. We'll deal with this real quick to be started. Now watch this. I am praying every night for you guys to have dreams and visions. And she just had one. That's an answer to my prayer.
Pretty serious one, too. I mean, that was awesome.
Woo-hoo! Glory, glory, glory! You might be like, Pastor, you just, hey, you don't have to, you know, have me, man, God, you old sour puss. Go suck another pickle. Watch it. Well, and then we're getting this righteousness thing. And tonight, man, Dr. Winston gave that verse that I know it. I know that verse. I haven't used it one time since we've been preaching it. Awake to righteousness and you won't sin. And now we got a dream and a vision and it's 9:30 already. But it's 9:30 on a Friday night and we don't have anywhere to go. Well, hang on to your hat band Hattie. We might be here a while. Yes. Watch this. Mark 13. As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see the great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon the other that shall not be thrown down. And of course, there's a whole bunch of people. That, you know, all these people that's with his disciples are like, look at that building. And that's going to be thrown down? Look what Jesus says. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. So he comes out of the temple. The temple mount, the temple is on the mount. The Mount of Olives is right there. That's where Jesus would go pray. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. And he could go to the temple or to the mountain of Olives and sit there and see the temple, and the sun would be glistening on the top of the temple. And Jesus liked that. The New Jerusalem will be Zion. Yes. Good, get me to Maryland.
Amen, Richard.
Everybody's having trouble with Siri tonight, but just have at it, man. We don't care. We'll figure it out. Watch what Jesus said. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, Take heed that no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you. It is probably the greatest message that's in the Olivet Discourse. Take heed that no one deceive you, because it is the number one problem of the end times is deception. It's the number one problem. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
And I am being, jeez, I'm a great level of shock. I'm talking King James here. I am being of a great level of shock at who has fallen. It's just, you look around, you're like, did you actually just say that in front of God and everybody? That is amazing. If you're going to be stupid, don't be publicly stupid. Many will come in my name, verse 6, saying, I'm he, and they'll deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. So what the Olivet Discourse is Jesus telling the disciples of what the signs of the times that you and I will see when Jesus is ready to return and the rapture happen. What are the signs of the time? That's what the Olivet Discourse is all about. So it's on the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, looking at the temple, and Jesus is saying, this is all going to go down. Well, then, of course, he said 3 days, they'll destroy this temple. And they're like, you're going to destroy that temple in 3 days. And Jesus wasn't talking about that temple. He's talking about his own temple. And then he said, and I will build it back again in 3 days. Now, it says, verse 10, Mark 13:10. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations as a witness. So, right now, I think the gospel is in every nation. Let me say it differently. I know the gospel is able to be reached in the nation if they have a device that can pull it in, because the earth is blanketed by either satellite or internet signal, even in some small villages. I have a missionary friend that was in Africa, and he said it was so amazing. He said, I would leave this big resort town where it had casinos, and I would walk 5 minutes and be in utter poverty, people living in mud huts. And there would be a light pole in the center of that little community that had electricity with plugs all around it, and people would be standing there with their cell phones, charging their cell phone up, and be able to see the whole world from their cell phone while they live in a mud hut. All right? So all over this world, the gospel is preached and is available for people to be able to get it. I mean, there's nations where you can't get YouTube. They won't let it be in there, because it brings the gospel and it brings deliverance.
Yeah.
So you can't even connect to YouTube in some of these nations. All right? And so this is the great deception. The word of God is everywhere, and yet Amos said there's going to be a famine of the word in the last day. Well, goodness sakes alive, you can sit down on YouTube and you watch YouTube messages from preachers till the cows come home.
Yeah.
Slaughter them, get a new set all borned up and gone, and send them back out. I mean, it's just there 24/7. And so Jesus is saying, don't let anybody, let no one deceive you. Why? Because deception is going to be there. Now, Tracy, I want to deal with that some more. And I want you to send me an email reminding me to deal with this some more. And if you would, tell me a little bit more about your dream in an email, because I would like to hear it. And then tomorrow night, we'll deal with righteousness in the end times and the Olivet Discourse. Tomorrow night, question and answer session on Saturday night, we'll deal with these end times events and the end times things. So if you got questions about the end times, send me an email and make sure you keep sending it until I give you a reply, because that's when you know I got it. And then we'll give you some great answers. Now, I've got one more video I'm going to play. Now, give me a second here. I got a video I'm going to play before we do the communion, because we just talked about tithe, and I got one of the coolest tithe stories that you're ever going to hear. Are you serious? Man, it was right there. All right, hold on. Isn't that just something? All right, they changed the name of it. There it is. You ready? You're going to love this. Make your mind up right now. Like aliens, they are all fallen angels, right? Yeah, if there's an alien, it's a fallen angel, right? And then Ukraine war, possible war with Russia, China, could this be? Yeah, it's all part of it. That's good. And send me some more. Now watch this. I want you to see this. This is not it. Man, that's really frustrating when you know you got it and then it's not. Hold on, give me one more second. That's just something. I'm finding this right now. I'm telling you what's going on. Isn't that just something? That is just amazing. Well, here we go. This is it. It's in 4 minutes, so watch this. This isn't the whole story like I wanted it to be, but it's all right. It's cool. This is my pastor.
Battery 40%. Connected to Samuel's mask. Let's go.
She has her mom was there and some other kids and such. And we were Jaden's. Was coming through and emergency trust and just filling my son-in-law. He's already told him. He's got some other signs to help him. What on that day? At the hospital.
You cannot have me.
Just a murder.
Okay. Okay, that was the one I was looking for. It was. I just wanted to tell the 10-minute story, not the 4-minute story. Tyler's right. But I want you to get the story. Out of James' mouth had to come the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the verse he quoted was Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. No, I have tithers right. I wasn't with him. but I was real close with Brother James when he came out of prison. The son-in-law he was talking about. I was doing prison ministry when he came out of prison. And he got born again. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went through Dr. Barclay's ministry school in prison. When he came out, he just gave himself to the work of the ministry. And the next thing you know, he falls in love with Dr. Barclay's daughter, Dawn. Now they have four kids, and in the midst of the blessing, when the thief attacked, James went to the Word and said, I have tithers' rights, but if you ain't a tither, you don't have the rights. Tithe ain't about money, although you'll give money. Tithe's about worship. I worship you, the great provider of my life. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And my testimony is, I am a tither. You can't stop the abundance and the blessing of God in my life. Wait a minute. You don't have to rebuke the devourer. Jesus is rebuking the devourer. But you've got to get this word on your lips. You got to have a profession, and you got to be willing to make it loud. Woo! Now, I was supposed to send a text while that was going. And I, what's that? I was. I love this story. I absolutely love this story. And while we're doing this, well, let's just pray. Father, thank you. We're going to receive tithes. We're going to receive tithes and offerings now. We're going to receive the Holy Communion now, sir. Thank you for this amazing revelation that you've poured out upon us. Thank you for the courage to fight and for the word we got tonight to be like Jacob, wrestle with you and not let go. Don't you want to do that? God's in heaven going, son, don't teach him to wrestle with me. Just teach him to listen to me. So much. We love you, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you want to talk some more when we get done, we can do that. But I want us to receive communion right away. And I'm going to have Sister Leanne read the verses so I can send this text. All right? And then, that's right. And then I'll have the communion prayers up and the prayer of salvation, and we'll be ready to rock and roll. In Jesus. Now, hold on. I just love it. I just love the fact that God Almighty comes on us so strong and powerful that it just messes you all up. I love it. All right, so we got the prayer of salvation ready. Sister Leanne, read the word.
Chapter 11.
Don't worry, I'm helping you too. Here we go. There we go. Head coverings. No, that's not what we're talking about. The Lord's Supper. There it is. And there it is. All right.
All right. I'll be right with you. Got one more little picture. Over here. Oh, you actually put it up on the screen. I wasn't even looking there. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, which is his redemptive work that he did to buy us back until he comes. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen and amen. And let's go to 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us.
Because he first loved us.
Lord.
Amen and amen and amen. Well, now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And that's on the screen. And I'm really glad we got it up on the screen like this, because it gives everybody the ability to pray the same prayer. Can you see that? Because I still got one more text to send you.
Yeah.
Sister Leanne will lead us in this prayer.
Praying the prayer of salvation. If you are praying this for the first time tonight, we're so happy to have you doing that. And please contact us afterwards. Let us know that you've done that. If you have any questions, please get a hold of us. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have and to help you know how to walk out your new Christian life. And even if you've prayed this prayer 1,000 times, pray it again. It's such a beautiful refreshing to your spirit to say these words again. It just fills your heart with joy. So let's pray this together. This is the prayer of salvation. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy. And if you'll advance it, we'll continue to pray. All of your love and your righteousness filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me walk with you, know how to walk with you every day. In
Jesus'
name
I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you for praying that with us. Now, if that's the first time you prayed that,
welcome
to the kingdom of heaven.
Welcome to the family of God.
Welcome to the family of God and welcome to the community of faith and welcome to getting born again on YouTube, Facebook, and welcome to communion for the very first time right on the internet. You've joined literally hundreds, probably thousands of who come here to receive communion with us on the internet. And honestly, On the other side of this that you will never see till we get to the end of heaven, there are probably thousands of people who the first communion they ever received was right here. And people have said, well, you can't do that. During the pandemic, we all had to do it. People have said for years, you can't take communion at your house. That's just wrong. Then we're all in our house and can't get to church. You better not stop. You better not do away with communion. You better take it. Now, what just happened to me, Pastor? You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. You went from being a wandering person on this earth here, and you are no longer wandering. You're now a child of Almighty God. Why? Because the author and finisher of faith just came and made his abode on the inside of you. Pastor, are you always this fired up? No, sometimes I really get excited. See, all of a sudden when you realize your sin is gone, it's gone. When you realize your sin is just gone, it transforms everything about you. It sets you free to be bold, to be happy, to be joyful, to actually be fun to be around. Man, I thought if I was going to be a Christian, I'd be a sourpuss. I know there's a whole lot of people that think that. Don't be a sourpuss, be a platypus. That's just a cool, whatever. I don't even know. What is it? Is it a mammal? A bird? What is it?
It's a mammal. It's a
mammal?
Otter, yeah. It's like a beaver.
It's like a
same family as the beaver.
Yeah, but they know beaver is cool as a platypus. So we're glad to have you with us. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Got to have a community of believers to get connected to. And this is a great one. Personally, I believe every pastor should do what I'm doing right here. Why? Because every pastor has people in his church and his community who need him. And when you make it public like this and make it available for everybody, that allows people who go to a church that does not have anything like this at all. They have a form of godliness, but there's no power to set them free. They can look over here at us and say, man, that's what I want. I'm not going to be a part of that religiosity another day of my life. And bam, here they come, and now they're here with us. And they've made that transformation into the next step where God wants them to be in their life. And you might have a good church. That's good. If God connects you to us, then here's how this works. I'm a fivefold ministry gift. I function in the gift of the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher. And I'm an apostle. I'm a sent one here. And I have the gift of the prophet. So you're going to be able to get all five of those gifts here. And I'm going to bring preachers in. Like tonight, Dr. Winston and Brother Copeland, both of those men are apostles and prophets and teachers to the core. Well, they're evangelists, and they're just the fivefold ministry. Those are some serious. There ain't no more serious evangelist than Dr. Bill Winston. That man will stand at the end of that service and say, no, there's five more of you. Get up here to this altar. And they get up, and they get up to that altar. And then they baptize you in the matter of about a half an hour. It's one serious soul-winning church right there. Now, we're glad to have you with us. And we want to help you. We've got lots of videos that will help you do it. And Sister Lane keeps holding the picture. Don't preach, just communion. Get you some communion elements. Get you some grape juice and bread. Or get you some bread and water. And the one young man called me on the flight line in Iraq one night. Called me on Skype. And he said, hey, Pastor. Except it was more like, I ain't no pal now. I'm like, talk slow. I can't understand. He said, I haven't had communion in 8 months. I'm like, what you got? He said, I got Gatorade and some Cheez-Its. I'm like, that'll work, brother. Here we go. And we prayed this same prayer over Skype while he's on the flight line in Iraq in the middle of combat. Why? Because that's how this works. That's how this works. Ready? Hold your elements up and pray this prayer with me. It's on the screen. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You endured the cross, despising the shame, and you did it all for us in Jesus' mighty name. And now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price, righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By your
blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, accuser of the brethren, cast down, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive. Let's sing together. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other power I know.
Nothing but
the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, we haven't had one of them real amazing communion services in a while, Father, where everybody just ends up rolling on the floor because we've been overwhelmed by the joy of the Lord. It's amazing. It's happened to us three times. Four times maybe during communion. And it's like, who do you think you are, Father? Showing up with laughter in communion. I mean, literally, the one night I just said that. I'm like, what is this? This is communion. It's supposed to be the most holy event of our life. And we are all laying on the floor in laughter. But you know what it was? It was the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
That had come so strong and that night, and people's lives were transformed and set free, and we were just overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord. Here we go, Sister Phyllis. You got some closing verses?
Yes. Am I still unmuted? Okay. Jude, is okay?
Yeah.
All right then. Verse 22-25. So you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And right across the page, Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, Sister Phyllis.
Yes.
I'm going to give you another set of closing verses.
Okay.
And that's in Revelation 22. And I'll shoot it to you in an email. You got email?
I don't remember. I mean, I have one, but I don't remember what it is, and I don't. Anyway.
Do you have it? Do you have a text? How about instant message? Messenger.
No, I don't go on instant messenger anymore either.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what I want. It's Revelation 22. Is verse 7. I'll send this to you one way or another. I'm going to get this to you. Verse 7, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, and then 20 and 21. It's almost the red letters in the last book of the Bible, but there's a few extra words in there. But I'll send it to you so you have it and you can see it. I won't just spring it on you one night. I'll let you practice it and mark it in your Bible so you know what verses it is, all right? Because I really appreciate you reading them. And it's just going to add, I keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, I want that last verse. Remember this statement. The first verse of the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the last verse of the Bible is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Now, Tracy McSwain, it is exactly what you're saying. It's exactly what you're saying. Love him with all your heart. And it's not about an end time argument of who's right and who's wrong. It's about be ready. Dr. Hilton Sutton is the man of God that I follow for end times, for prophecy teaching of the whole Bible. He's an amazing student. And he would go head-to-head with Gordon Lindsay and Pat Robertson and all those guys, but he was contemporary with those guys. And they were all great men of God in their own right. And they would all come to the final conclusion because they all saw the end times events differently. Pat Robertson, Hilton Sutton, Gordon Lindsay all saw the end time events differently. But all of them agreed that no matter what, be ready because he's coming like a thief in the night. So it was really the end time verses are about build your relationship with God. That's what you said. That's what you said. And then don't be awake. Make sure you got more than enough oil. Sister Leanne and I have more than enough cell phone cords with us wherever we go. Why? Because I will not be a foolish virgin and end up with no cell juice. And I always have my headset, cell phone wire with me. And I always have my plug for the wall. And I always have the plug for the car. Why? Because I will not be found unready. Well, don't you think you're just taking this to a little extreme, Pastor? No, I don't think I'm taking it to a little extreme. The five foolish virgins did not get to go in because they were not ready. Now, Roger Hoxie, I declare no more dizzy. Health in your body, soundness in your mind, courage and strength in your soul. Be thou made whole. And in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, God is going to seal your instruction on the inside of you. Turn your foot from falling into pit and stop you from being in pride and restore to you your youth and your righteousness according to the holy word of God. Brother Richard, I did not get to send you that email today because I had my head under the semi all day long. But I have tonight off, so I'll probably get it sent to you. And Tracy, if you send me an email with that. Tracy, what I was saying is open up your cell phone. You can go in here, see this app right there. It's called Voice Recorder. You can click that. And then see the little red button? I'm trying to get this to go the right way. Click that red button. And then it'll just let you talk right in there. And you can record what that dream was and then send it to me in an email or in text. Or, I mean, instant messenger.
Okay. Do you have time for me? Go ahead and read this. I don't have the little verses.
Do it, Phyllis.
Okay. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work.
Yes.
Okay. And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. First and the last. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Okay, and then verse 20 and 21, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
And amen. And amen and amen and amen. I'll just type those verses in. Just in case you want them. Verses 16 and 17 and 20 and 21. There you go. All right, guys, that's it. We got to go. Remember this. We love you. We really do. And God loves you. He really does. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Lord. You know what? When the program's finished, I'm going to put the two links to Brother Copeland's video and Dr. Winston's video in the comments, not in the chat, in the comment section. So you'll be able to find it in there once the program is finished. All right. See you guys soon. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in Jesus' mighty name.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night, and God bless you, Phyllis Raymond.